Today's podcast is brought to you by Acoustic, the marketing cloud that helps marketers get back to thinking bigger. Acoustic helps you bring humanity back to marketing, connecting you with customers in truly meaningful ways. Ways that make people feel something. Trusted by trusted brands. Learn more about Acoustic at acoustic.com.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, December 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Americans currently hold about $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. A big chunk of that is held by parents, who've taken on a greater share of their children's college costs in recent decades, many of them through the government's Parent Plus program.
These aren't just parents who may not have liquidity and are using this program to get it. Some of these borrowers are low-income parents. They're parents who are making $30,000 a year and borrowing $30,000 a year, and the government lets them do it.
Coming up, we'll talk with our reporter Andrea Fuller about the financial strain that student debt can put on families and what colleges are doing to make higher education more accessible to middle and lower-income students. That's after the break.
To be a powerfully productive business, you need powerfully happy people. Two leaders in workforce management and HR have joined forces to become UKG, Ultimate Kronos Group. UKG creates comprehensive HR solutions designed to make employees happier and build more meaningful connections within your workforce. They've even done that for themselves, being recognized as one of the top places to work. And UKG's 12,000 employees help thousands of businesses build better cultures every day. When you're ready to make your people happier, UKG is ready to work for you. UKG, our purpose is people.
Newly released government data paints a stark picture of the mountain of student debt held by Americans, and by parents in particular. Our reporter Andrea Fuller has been going through the numbers, and she joins us to discuss. Andrea, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been well documented that student loan debt is an economic weight on Americans, but what makes this batch of data from the government so significant?
So this is the first time we've really known how much parent debt is out there on a school-by-school level. The government has released, you know, total parent loan volume for a number of years, but we've never really known where are the schools that people are borrowing the most. And now we do. And it's actually quite astounding to see some of these numbers. There are schools with, you know, median parent loan debt of $100,000 in that ballpark.
So the government data tracked the amount parents have borrowed through a federal loan program called Parent Plus. How does that work?
The way it works is if you're a student, you're 18, you're going to college, you can only get up to about a lifetime $31,000 if you're a dependent student. The problem is that a lot of colleges cost a lot more. We're seeing a lot of schools with, you know, tuition upwards of $50,000 a year. And now, and increasingly, parents are having to fill that gap. And if you don't have access to the private loan market, the government offers what's called a Parent Plus loan. And there's a minimal credit check. Most parents can get them. Not everyone qualifies, but most people do. And you can borrow as much money up to the cost of attending a college. And so that's how you see these parents ending up with, for one student, upwards of $100,000 in loan debt because they're taking out $25,000 a year to fill that gap between what college cost and what the student is able to borrow through their own government lending program.
College tuition is one of the largest financial commitments a family has, but not all schools are equal in that respect. What are the schools where parents have accumulated the most debt?
The schools with the highest Parent Plus debt aren't schools like Harvard and Princeton, the Ivy League schools that have international recognition. They tend to be either art schools, historically black colleges, which are notoriously lacking in, you know, endowments and resources because of the history of how they were formed, and of other sort of smaller private universities like High Point University in North Carolina that may not have the brand name of somewhere like Princeton. And these schools are actually the ones that are leaving families in the most debt. They're good schools, but they don't have the resources of these schools with multi-billion-dollar endowments. NYU is another example of a school that is an elite school, but doesn't have the endowment size of a Harvard. And the median parent debt there is upwards of $70,000 a year. So the number one college is Spelman in Atlanta, which is an HBCU, historically black college. And the median debt there for parents for graduating students was $112,000, which is a huge number for any family. And 40 to 50% of Spelman parents are borrowing these loans. So it's not just a sliver of students.
Does the government expect parents to be able to pay all this money back?
I think that's the million-dollar question, right? And no one really knows on an individual level. The government has said that the default rate for these are fairly low, actually lower than for student borrowers themselves. But they've also been increasing so much in recent years that we don't know what the long-term consequence of this program is going to be, because we're talking about parents who are, one, approaching retirement. Two, these aren't just parents who may not have liquidity and are using this program to get it. Some of these borrowers are low-income parents. They're parents who are making $30,000 a year and borrowing $30,000 a year, and the government lets them do it. And I think some of these families, they have no idea how they're going to pay it back. And it's possible that they won't, and they'll end up having their wages garnished.
Wow. These numbers you're talking about can be an enormous strain on lower income families trying to provide their kids with an education. What are colleges doing to make education more accessible to families on that end of the income scale?
Many schools, in fact, offer scholarships for low-income students. And so I wouldn't want families to see these numbers and say, oh, well, college isn't affordable. There are opportunities for low-income students to get scholarships so that they can attend one of these more expensive colleges. But it's not universal. And some schools offer very generous financial aid and other schools less so. And until I think a family sees the package they get, it's really hard to know at a lot of schools, because the number of schools that offer, you know, free tuition, room, board, and fees for families making under $65,000 a year is fairly small. At some of these less wealthy private universities, they're not going to have that generous of financial aid packages. And so families have to see there are always scholarship opportunities. But schools really want to make themselves accessible for low-income students. It's just that tuition has increased so much in recent decades, far outpacing inflation and family income, that there's a big gap between what families can conceivably put together and what it actually costs.
Okay, and just stepping back for a second, the debt stemming from the Parent PLUS program is just a portion of the overall post-secondary education debt that's held by Americans, right?
Correct. So we've also got student debt. And even though undergraduate student debt is capped, graduate student debt is fairly unrestricted. And there's a separate PLUS lending program for grad students that we've reported on as well. Some of those figures on a school-by-school basis and program-by-program basis. We also have private loan debt. And some families who are borrowing, you know, the parents are not taking out PLUS loans, but they're taking out private loans. And that's not reflected in this data. We only know what the government has access to on a school-by-school basis.
You know, forgiveness of federal student loans was brought up a lot during the presidential campaign. Do you think that these numbers will factor into that debate?
You know, it's really hard to say, but it's certainly an interesting wrinkle in the issue. A lot of what folks are talking about in student debt forgiveness is debt held by the student. And I've talked to parents who have said, you know, I hold the debt. It's not fair to talk about student debt forgiveness. This is my debt. It's in my name. you know, it's such a controversial issue. You have some folks who are saying, I just spent, you know, 20 years paying off this debt, and now we're talking about student debt forgiveness. This isn't fair to me. So it's definitely going to be hotly debated. But I think these numbers are going to really hopefully shine a light on what it really looks like for a lot of families at a lot of schools, because I think we don't really know until we have the data.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Andrea Fuller. Andrea, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. You have a great day.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.